I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier at Christ Lutheran Church, Cape Canaveral. And the message today is titled, The Journey to Resurrection Day, What to Expect.
We've been talking over the last number of weeks about the resurrection of the dead, the last day, the return of Christ and the kingdom to come. And really what we're looking forward to is the happy ending that God has for us, which he will give to us in the new world that is coming at the return of Christ. So we're excited about that. Today, I'd like to talk with you about our journey to the resurrection day, the resurrection of all flesh. What is that journey going to be like? What does Jesus tell us about it in the scriptures? What do we have to endure, to conquer, to go through, to get to the prize of the world to come? And let's take a look and especially see what Jesus teaches us about that in Matthew chapter 24. Now, we won't be able to go through every verse, but we'll go through a good number of them because Jesus does a really great job here. And of course, he always does a great job in everything he does. But here, to prepare us for the things that we have to go through, endure, and face and conquer on our way to the prize of the world to come, that we might indeed have a soldier's heart about all the things that the Christians need to go through in the last days of the world as we race forward towards the finish line, the resurrection of the dead. So are you ready to hear what Jesus has to say? Let's open up in Matthew chapter 24, and we'll go through a number of these verses together. All right, we read verse 1, starting there. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age?" So that's a great question they ask. They're asking, tell us about the fall of Jerusalem, and then tell us about the signs of your coming and the end of this world, the close of the age. I'd like to focus on the second part today. The close of the age, his coming, the great last days of the world in these verses. And what do we learn here is, let's go to the next verse. Jesus answered them, and this is this first answer, "Take heed that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray." So on our journey to the resurrection of the dead, that great day, what do we have to endure? First thing is deceivers and deceptions. Are you ready for that? Many will come and say, "I'm the Christ, follow me." There'll be, as we read also, a little later in the chapter, false Christ, false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. So deceivers, deceptions. What's the world going to be filled with that we're going into on our journey to the great prize? Liars and lies. Is the world full of deceptions today, do you think? Or is everybody just honest little Boy Scouts out there? I mean, we're seeing lies in schools. Hey, y'all come from a monkey. No, but that's what they teach. You hear of lies in the pop culture, that sorcery, that's a good thing. Seek after power and sexual misconduct. That's the entertainment industry. You have lies, of course, with our government. They're honest as can be, aren't they? You have lies with even in the medical field, you know, if you drive a bicycle over a cliff today, oh, that was a COVID-19 death. We'll check that one off. There's lies and deceptions everywhere. But what Jesus is really speaking about here is spiritual deceptions. They're all spiritual, but especially false Christs, imposters, evil teachers, counterfeit gospels, and imposter Jesuses that are out there. Are we facing such things? Indeed, if you look at the Mormons, Latter-day Saints, they're going to say, "Oh, Jesus, he's the brother of Lucifer." wrong Jesus. That's someone claiming to be a Christ, or they're claiming that that's the Christ, wrong one. The Jehovah's Witnesses say, he's the Archangel Michael, he's a created being. Wrong one, false Jesus. You have the Mormons, they have their Jesus. They say, he never died on the cross. Wrong one, false Jesus. You've got mainline liberal denominations, and you've got evangelical churches today that God's going to save everybody, and he'll never judge anyone, and he's not the only way, or if he is the only way, everybody will be saved in him. There's no judgment. False Christ, wrong Jesus. And there's going to be coming people as well saying, I'm the Christ, follow me. Jesus says, take heed, beware, be on the alert. Don't have anything to do with these people because they're seeking to lead you astray. And many will follow after their evil teachings. That's a great apostasy, a falling away in the church. Do you think that there's a falling away in the church towards the end of time? Look at the churches, they're becoming bare. We're getting very close to the prize. So are you going to hold fast, though, to the true Jesus Christ? The one of the scriptures, the Bible, who was of Nazareth, of the Virgin Mary, who came to be the Savior, who is the only way, the truth, and the life to the Father, who died for our sins, who was indeed buried and literally, bodily rose on the third day, ascended and is coming again to give us the kingdom. Hold fast to this Jesus. You do. He is your king. Take heed and beware. Deceivers and deceptions shall abound throughout the world. You hold fast to the truth. Amen? Amen. So that's the number one thing Jesus says to watch out for. And man, we are in that in the world today. So keep to your king. Let's go on to the next verse. Number two, Jesus says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. So what's the second thing? Wars, rumors of wars, fightings amongst countries, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Have we seen such things? If we look at the last century, the 1900s, they say that more people died in that one century alone than all the from war than all the other centuries combined. So many were killed in war. We're getting very close. But Jesus says, I want you to have a soldier's heart. Don't let war take you away from your king. Conquer as a soldier even the wars in the world, holding fast to me. Because you're going to have to go through wars. It's just part of what is on the way on our journey to the resurrection of the dead. So don't let wars shake you. See that you're not alarmed. Don't be afraid. Don't let these things unduly bother you or unsettle you, for these things just must take place. It's just part of the way there. Run forward. You're in good shape, but the end is not yet. The next thing, thirdly, he says this. Let's open up again. He says, and there will be wars, a kingdom against kingdom, etc., and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All this is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Are such things also at large in the world today? Earthquakes, famines in the world? These are the beginnings of the birth pangs. How many women out there have had children? You know what the beginnings of birth pangs is like. It's like, ooh, whoa, whoa. You know, I don't know. I'm not a woman. You guys can instruct me. You're probably like, you don't know the half of it, Pastor. The Braxton Hicks, the contractions, when we see famines, the earthquakes, the earth itself is, as it were, getting ready to give birth to the new world by Christ's commands. And so it has to go through, if you will, labor, travail, like earthquakes, great contractions, and famines in various places. Are these going to things... are these going to unsettle you or cause you to turn from the Christ? Don't let them at all. This is just part of your journey there. If the contractions are getting larger, the earthquakes and the famines, just know that that means the new birth of the new world is that much closer. Your king is at the very gates. So that's the third one. Stay with your king, Jesus says, in such times. The fourth thing, let's take a look at that one. This is verse 9. We read, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and you will be put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. So what do we expect there? Number four is that, you know, in the last couple of verses, nations were fighting against nations and countries against countries, right? But here, they're all united in their warfare. Against whom? Christians, right? You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. For the name of Jesus Christ, whom you bear. For the name of our Lord and our Savior and our King, because they don't want him to rule over them. And he is the true King. So they will hate you on account of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom you have believed. What are we looking at here? Ultimately, is the spirit of Antichrist that is in the world. Because all the nations were fighting against each other previously. Here they're all united in their war against Christ and his church, the true Christians. And so we're fighting against Antichrist. Are you ready for Antichrist and his attacks? He's always been here, but he has a special releasing of power towards the end of time. And I believe we are seeing such things, delivering you up to tribulation, crushings, pressings, jail, and even death. Well, that's a hard word to hear, but we got to hear it. We've seen even in recent times things that we wouldn't have believed some years ago. Pastors in Canada saying, we will not stop meeting as Christians. Government ordering lockdowns, no more preaching, no more sacraments, no more gathering together, and they've dragged such people out of their churches off to prison. Well, is that the spirit of Antichrist? The world authorities these days seem united in a plan of what they're calling the New World Order, which I'll speak more on probably next month or later this month. And they're seeking to change the laws, aren't they? Laws long held as liberties held fast. They're just changing laws. You know what that reminds me of? Is Daniel chapter 7. We hear of the Antichrist. We hear there in verse 25, it says, he shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. You know, we're fighting against them to the end. And shall think to change the times and the law. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? What are they doing right now? Changing the times and the law. What happened to liberties? Well, we'll put those aside for the sake of, quote, an emergency. And so they're changing times and laws to do what? To especially attack Christians, shut down churches, and rage against God's people. We are seeing that. Are you ready to endure all such things? That's in the civil authorities. We also have the false prophet in the spiritual places in the church, which we would call the Pope of Rome, to be especially watchful, watch out for him as a chief wolf. Because the chief Antichrist, the false prophet, is to take a seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God, and we see that he's cursed the gospel. You know, so be careful. Many will fall away, Jesus says, and will betray one another and hate one another. Again, there's a great driving Christians away from Christ. There's a great emptying of churches. There's a great turning away from the Lord. Will you be one of them, deserters? No, you will be one of those who are keeping to your King, holding fast to him who holds fast to you. What's the good news about this is, it doesn't last too long after all. We read here in Daniel chapter 7, the very next line about the Antichrist, it says, and they shall be given into his hand for a time, two times and half a time. You know, I'm not sure exactly what that is, but that's a very short little brief moment, a very tiny ascendancy of power before they're put away forever. What happens after their brief little moment of power is this: the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Their kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey them. What are you destined for? Victory over all these things. But you got to hold fast through the great fight at the end of time for a brief, great, great battle. So God's word to us, Jesus is telling, on the way to Resurrection Day, to the prize and to the new world of my kingdom, you've got to go through these things: great attacks and war. Be soldiers. Stand your ground. Don't budge an inch. Hold the line. Battle the evil. Win the fight. Keep to my word till Christ comes like a good soldier to his king. Are you prepared to do that? You are. You're here. You're doing great. Let's keep on and keep up, and our Lord will keep us on the way on our journey to Resurrection Day. Let's look at the next one. What's the next one Jesus warns us about? The very next line he says, and because, verse 12, and because wickedness is multiplied, most men's love will grow cold. Are we seeing that kind of in the world today? Dastardly acts and unsaintly dispositions of heart are leading people into greater and greater wickedness, and a lot of people's love in the world is cooling, growing cold, becoming more frozen. Now, we don't like that word so much. We'd rather just everything get better, amen? We are people of life. We are people of love. We love God, Christ, His Word, sanctity of life, the truth. We want everything to get better, and we're going to fight for that, and we will have degrees of success in these things, so keep fighting for it. But we also have to understand that the Scriptures just will be fulfilled, that towards the end of time, on our journey to Resurrection Day, men will not go from better to better, but from bad to worse. More evil, disobedient, unkind, and unfaithful to the end. Are you ready to bear these things? Jesus says. Wickedness escalating and people getting cold. Paul says in his letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of stress. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderers, profligates, fierce, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Are you ready to bear and endure all these things in the midst of the fray, to fight the good fight, and that with good cheer, and keeping your hope alive with your eyes on the kingdom? Here's the good word Jesus tells us about that for our encouragement in this. Matthew 24, the next line is, but he who endures to the end will be saved. In other words, there's a prize at the end of our fight. Keep running for it in the great battle. Now, I think that this is the best time in all of the history of the world to live. Do you agree with that? These are difficult times, to be sure, but we are, if I can frame it, in the great royal epic battle of the whole history of the world. This is the story of Jesus versus Satan. Good versus evil. Right versus wrong. And you're in the best part of the movie. The movie starts with man created good, the dragon comes and causes them, leads them into betrayal, and they fall into sin and death, and he rules and rages for centuries. That wouldn't have been a good time to live. Then the king, the righteous prince, comes and slays the dragon, disarms him, sets the prisoners free. That was good when Christ came. Then he armed his church, having disarmed the enemy, and made you knights in shining armor. Look at Ephesians 6, the helmet, the shield, the breastplate, the sword. You're fighting the good fight. That's a great time to live. But every movie has to build up to the end, right? With this great climactic battle, and you know, the music gets noble and royal and epic and exciting. These are the days we're living in. God's the author of all history. You're living in the best time of the royal story, if you think about it. You know, if God is going to write the best story that we're going to sing about for all eternity, okay, do you think God's going to write a story and at the end of it, it just sort of peters out and sputters and runs out of gas like, and Christ comes? Is that it? Or is it going to be dun da 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 dun da 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 dun da 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 dun da da da? I just made that up on the spot. Can you believe it? But think about that. You're in the best part of the story. This is for heroes, and God chose you and honored you to live in the greatest part of the royal epic battle and story and war of all time that we'll sing about for all eternity. Rejoice in these days. Keep a soldier's hand on your sword, heart, and with your eyes on your king. These are great days. He leads you forth to victory, and you will win. Because the very next line in Matthew 24, verse 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So this is a sign not of the beginning of the end, but of the end of the end, that the gospel reaches the ends of the earth. How far has the gospel reached to this day? We're like 99.999% of the way there. Who has not heard the gospel? To what land has the gospel not reached? The gospel will be reached to the ends of the earth, and then will be the end, says the Lord. And what does that mean also? Victory under victory and conquering. You're going to preach, and we're going to win, and the gospel will continue to go out. That's the Lord's word. This is what we're to expect on our way, running to the prize. So we don't have far to go, is my point. If you don't have far to go, get your energy. By God's grace, prize is not far away. Press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, says Paul. Keep alert. Gird up your loins. Arm yourself for the final royal battle. This is good. And these are great heroic days to live in. Then we go on. The next one is verse 21. We're going to skip down a little bit here to verse 21 for the sake of time. Jesus says, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, and no, never will be. And if those days had not been shortened, no human being would be saved, but for the sake of the elect, then those days will be shortened." So what also, towards the end of time, the battle will rage so fierce that there will be so much trouble on earth, more than there has ever been from the creation until this very time, and never will be ever again. But you get to enjoy that. I know it's tough and terrific and difficult, but isn't your king by your side with you to keep you? Look how marvelously he takes care of you in the last days. If those days had not been shortened, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Who shortens them? God. Why? Because he's looking over you. He's watching after you. He's guarding and numbering the hairs on your head. He is putting all your tears in a bottle. He's empowering your heart. He's providing the way. He's shortening the days so that they don't overcome you. He's revving up your courage. He's emboldening your witness. He's proving his faithfulness and truthfulness to you to be ever with you to the close of the age, even in the final epic battle of all history. So you can have super confidence for this, because even though it's in the very final days of the royal battle, even then God is tempering and restraining the evil. It's time so that it doesn't overcome you, because he's always after your victory and he will see you through to it. So this is really just a play. It's already been written, amen? We're just acting it out, okay? You have a great part to play. Play the soldier. Act your part. Deliver your lines. Wield your sword, for just as surely as you'll go through it, just as surely victory is yours. It's been written. It's been promised beforehand. And hey, he shortens the days. He's watching over you, is the point. The final signs are these. Let's look at verse 29 of Matthew chapter 24. Jesus says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they'll gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other." So what is this? Is the end of our journey. This is the prize. This is the return of the king. and eternal victory. We have to endure these things. But what do we read? Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. The sun will have its appearance changed, the moon, the stars falling at the very end, and then will appear this emblazoned royal seal. I don't know what it looks like, but guess what? You'll recognize it. The world will recognize it, even the wicked. And what will that day be like for them? What will be the Lord's reaction to this, the day that is coming soon? All that presently terrorize the earth and have for the centuries with their evil, in these last days will cringe with horror. You know, the bad guys seem to have power now. They will not be feeling so strong and mighty then. They'll begin to quake and tremble and shake in their boots and wish to run for some dark corner to hide from the light of the King returning in all of his glory. For the kings of the earth, says John in Revelation, and the great men and the generals, the rich and the strong, and everyone's slave and free, shall hide in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand before it? What a great day of rejoicing that will be for us. For the trumpet will sound of the archangel, Christ commanding him to blow. The King is coming, the King it is, here he is. The King will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, says Jesus, and gather his elect from the four winds of heaven, from one end of heaven to the other. So the first thing Christ does when he has that trumpet blown is he gathers you, knows those who are his, and the angels come and quickly gather you to his right hand to set you apart for what? For the kingdom, for your inheritance, for eternal joys and victory, for parading you further through the streets and setting a crown upon your heads. Does this not encourage you to be our heroes in this day, crowned by the King? And then the King will do what? We'll go to Matthew 13 here, verse 41. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather, second, out of his kingdom, all causes of sin and all evildoers. And then he sets them at his left hand, remember, and throws them into the furnace fire. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. The people that are proudly boasting over you today and making you seemingly afraid because they're bullies, these are but Goliaths that are about to be struck down and cast into the fire. Do not fear them, says the Lord. Daniel 7, once again, verse 27 says, and then the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven, in other words, the entire earth, will be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. That's you. Are you looking forward to it? And the kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom. Their kingdom shall be. And the righteous shall shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. We come to the prize at journey's end. His face we will see. His kingdom of glory and light, the new world and their joy everlasting. Sounds good, amen? So what do we have to go through on our journey to Resurrection Day, the return of the King and eternal victory? Answer, a lot. Okay, it's not easy. It's hard, but God says, take heart. I know your names. I keep you. I provide for you. My eye is upon you to see you through. You are not alone. Your King stands before you, is your rear guard, and goes before you to give you the victory. And we also have each other, by the way. A great time to live. Come on. Hard, yes, but time for heroes. And God is making you such through his Spirit who dwells within you. Keep, therefore, to the faith, to the one true Christ, with a soldier's heart, for your King loves you. Fight the good fight, run the race, and keep the faith, for here is the promise to you, and we'll conclude with this great word. This is a word that will find its fulfillment in you in time. Henceforth, there is laid up for you the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to you on that day. and not only to you, but to all who have loved his appearing. In Jesus' name.